Hello and welcome to the Money Marketing Podcast. I'm Kimberly Dondo, Digital Content Manager, and in this week's Weekend Essay Podcast, we have reporter Jean-Baptiste Andrieu detailing the tumultuous relationship between the PFS and its parent body, the CII. Take it away, JB.
A reader recently brought a money marketing article from 2016 to my attention. It essentially is an interview of Dr. Sandy Scott, former Director General of the Chartered Insurance Institute. In this article, Scott rejected any suggestion that the CII had hijacked the Personal Finance Society. He stated, "I have no reason, and this is how I put it to the PFS board, not to wish the PFS to be as successful as it can be. I am Group Chief Executive, and I am remunerated directly on the importance of the whole group, so if the group does not hit its number, and that includes the PFS, that affects me." If anything, this shows the controversies about the CII's intentions toward the PFS go far back in time. It suggests this tension now in public view started when I was in junior middle school at the very least. Back then, my main hook in life was my inability to perfectly play Deep Purple's Highway Star guitar solo. I was far too young to imagine that covering the quarrel between the two bodies would become my bread and butter 17 years later. I won't lie, this is not what I was imagining for my future self. Almost two decades have now elapsed since the publication of this article. I suppose the relationship between the PFS and its parent body had its highs and lows in the meantime. If testimonies from our readers are anything to go by, it seems there were brighter days in the past. It has to be recognized that the CII had the resources to step up and organize the PFS as an accredited and credible independent professional body, Andrew Cartledge wrote on 9 January. I'm not an expert on the long history between the CII and PFS, so my impression of the present situation has been mostly shaped by recent events. Unfortunately, things have turned grim over the past few weeks. Also, my coverage of their relationship had headed toward the direction of the past year and a half. I am an outsider and have tried to keep a balanced and neutral view on this matter. But dissatisfaction among PFS members was palpable even before the CII made its move shortly before Christmas. Still, it was surprising that things escalated so quickly. The appointment of 3 institute directors by the CII to the PFS board is a straw that broke the camel's back. It is clear that many PFS members have lost confidence in the CII and openly question its intentions. The CII guaranteed via its chair, Dr. Helen Phillips, that the new institute directors will focus on protecting and serving PFS interests, and added there is no plan to deregister the PFS. Whether the CII will live up to its promises remain to be seen. Financial Vulnerability Task Chairman and former PFS Chief Executive Officer Keith Richards suggested that a so-called Christmas coup was a step too far. There have been many advisors stating that this aggressive move by the CII to seize control of the PFS is a final straw and will result in them resigning membership and moving elsewhere for the annual statements of professional standing requirements. There are 6 SPS awarding bodies, of which CII is one. CISI and LIBF are likely to be the most obvious alternatives, he said. PFS members are indeed considering moving to other professional bodies. Rightly or wrongly, many PFS members have felt disenfranchised for a while about how the CII group manages a professional body. I've always wondered why they did not vote with their feet earlier. It's a genuine question, not a provocation. If all things considered, you are satisfied with the CII's group management of the PFS, it makes sense to stay. But if not, why stay with an organization you feel does not represent your best interest anymore? There are other professional bodies issuing SPS, so what are the obstacles in moving to another professional body? Is it more complicated to do than I believe? From conversation I've had and comments I've read this week, there is more at stake for PFS members due to their shard status. It carries a certain prestige within the profession as it represents all the efforts and commitments one has made in the career. It is the closest thing to a study of excellence for a financial planner. I can see the dilemma for chartered members, but a lot of PFS members are not chartered. So where is the problem for non-chartered members to cross the Rubicon?
Thanks, JB, for another great weekend essay. We hope that you enjoyed it. Please do keep up to date with all our new releases via Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere else you get your podcasts from. You can also keep up to date with all new content published on the Money Marketing website, as well as our print edition Money Marketing magazine, so make sure to subscribe. Follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. See you next time.